say I'm doing great all the time. It's like, you're not looking great. You're ugly. You don't make any money.
Wow, baby, this is good.
And I was like, yes!
You're the light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm just darkness.
You are the tunnel.
The look he gave me, he was so disgusted.
We don't go, hey, we won the national title. Good job. Now everybody get your ass back to class. Did I just out myself for having some sort of condition down there?
Some sort of glandular condition. We're just talking.
I like you, but, you know, not that.
You're not in like with me.
I have a girlfriend, man. I'm sorry.
You're not a side scroller.
No.
You're not a...
I'm not a midnight golfer.
Welcome to Booze and Basketball.
The best of both worlds.
And make sure you go to boozeandbasketball.com.
For all your booze and basketball needs. What's up?
And also,
yes.
Make sure you check us out on Podomatic.
On
Stitcher,
iTunes.
Stitcher.
On SoundCloud.
Pandora. Musical.ly. And wherever podcasts are found.
Yes. This is Los Stevens, a.k.a. Just Los. What's up?
Ooh.
Your friendly neighborhood Los. Coming at you.
There's always one in every neighborhood.
On a gorgeous Sunday evening here in Los Angeles.
It's so beautiful to see you again.
Oh, man.
I haven't seen you
I feel
you
like
forever.
I'm back from the dead. I don't know where I was at.
And here's the weird thing. So Los disappeared for weeks. And no one knew where he was. And I sent him texts. No answer. I go to his girlfriend's Instagram. Not on there. Because Los has an Instagram, but he doesn't use it anymore.
I've retired.
Used to use it when you didn't have a girlfriend, and he would put these great pictures of when me and Bae do this, and he would put, like, an invisible woman there. And then when he got a woman, he just gave it up. It was a beautiful shtick. And
the biggest publicity stunt ever.
Yeah, it was great. And he always said he was going to go in Photoshop when he finally found Bae. He was going to go back to all those old pictures
and
Photoshop them. But his girlfriend's super beautiful. And, like, you know, he's decided. He's like, I'm done. I don't need that. I don't need that anymore. When you're good looking, a lot of problems just kind of float away.
So I'm back. I'm here.
We were having a really long conversation. It's like we were recording for the last 20 minutes because we've been sitting here talking in front of these what do they call them?
Microphones?
No,
the pop filters.
Pop filters.
Yes.
I always forget what they're called. We're sitting in front of these pop filters. Pop filters.
Pop.
That's for you, Los.
You gotta make it pop.
You enunciate. And we just started talking about how technology, you just can't find anything anymore. If you want to watch Indiana Jones, you gotta go down. Did you know? So... I've been taking the bus for the last 2 weeks, like I told you off air.
Mm-hmm.
And I got off in the middle of, you know, this real, real shady neighborhood. And they had a movie rental store.
Ah.
And I was fascinated.
Did you step
like
inside?
No, I didn't. I didn't know what it was a front for, but
if you thought it was the Temple of Doom.
Yeah. I didn't think they were going to rip my heart out.
Okay, now.
Can I say something real quick? So,
what's
Temple
up?
Of Doom, mm-hmm. What was the name of the actress? I forget. But that was Steven Spielberg's wife.
Ah, yeah.
I forget the character's name, too. I want to say, like, Frenchie or something, but I know that's wrong. What was her name? She had a boy's name. Do you remember? Are you looking it up right now? Are you trying to pull this up?
Well, I just wanted to let people know that I was wrong, that... I think due to Disney owning them now, Lucasfilm, that Indiana Jones is now available for rental on iTunes.
Of course.
But what we were talking about was if we were to just eradicate CDs and DVDs and any physical mediums of any kind, and we'd be bound to digital.
That's how they own you.
Yes.
That's just another way they own you.
Because they could change it.
They can't come into my house and take my copy of Mindhunters with Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer and LL Cool J at their finest. They couldn't come in and just snatch that. Mm-hmm. It's not that movie Equilibrium. They send the Thought Police out.
Which is an underrated film, by the way.
That movie was... Whew, how that didn't become a huge hit
Tay
is
Diggs?
Beyond me.
Come on.
Oh, man. Tay Diggs was the worst part of that movie. The bad guy kind of was, yeah. I think. He was a real bad, real shitty bad guy.
God bless Christian Bale, man. He's a hell of an actor.
And Sean Bean was in that.
Oh, Sean Bean.
And one of his, you know, what was that? Yeah. One of those, you know, 90 on-screen deaths that Sean Bean has had.
I think that streak ended with The Martian. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, Sean Bean did not die in The Martian.
Yes.
I'm sure he didn't die in a lot of stuff, but you know.
No, he dies in everything. He may be dead now. You know, he just appears in movies so he could die over again.
That is going to be a damn shame when Sean Bean passes. Yeah,
because he's not going to get another chance to die again.
That'll be as bad as Alan Rickman.
Ah.
Maybe worse.
Oh, man.
I'll go back and watch Goldeneye.
Yeah, but anyway, so Indiana Jones, right? You were talking about...
I was just... Yeah. I don't remember.
Steven Spielberg.
Oh, Steven Spielberg. That girl, like, they played her up as, you know, being real sexy or real annoying or whatever, but, you know, it didn't really work.
Willie Scott.
Her name was Willie. I don't remember the actress's
name. Kate Capshaw,
that's right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I mean, you had to look it up. So.
I did. But my resources, I'm pretty good at
but
that.
But that, you know, nepotism. The fact that Steven Spielberg was like, nah, my wife will be perfect for it, or I don't know if they were married at the time, but... You know, maybe they had a deal in place.
They
agreed in principle.
And it's true, they had not been married yet. I'm over here looking at it. Temple of Doom was 1984. And they were married 1991. So they waited 7 years. They wanted the trilogy to be over, I take it.
They wanted all the suspicion to be off. Are they still married?
Yes. 5 children, from Jesus. What I'm reading here.
Who knew Spielberg had it in him? What?
I mean, he is a fan of spectacle.
Movie magic.
The BFG.
Oh, Jay.
Which
come
I heard
on.
Flopped.
What was that? Was that him?
Yes.
Is that animated?
It was the BFG was CGI. The rest of the movie was live
action.
What
is BFG?
The Big Friendly Giants.
Oh, that means... No, that's not what that word means.
The big fucking guy, which
no,
many people think.
Big fucking gun is what that means.
No, it's a big
friendly Go on giant. TVTropes.org. BFG is big fucking gun.
I know, but in the context of the novel.
No, bullshit. TV Tropes is always right.
Come on.
If you want something that you could just, you know, play around with for months without doing anything, go to TVTropes.org. You will lose your shit. I have to go there every day. Those are all die. I think they got me.
Safe to say.
Yeah. So, Los has been gone for a month, mm-hmm. and no one knew where he was.
Yeah.
If he's not, here's the deal with Los. If Los is not with me, he's with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, his girlfriend and I have communication for reasons unspecified. But when we do,
which
we go,
I have yet to ask.
Hey, where's Los? I don't know. I don't know either. Well, if he's not with you and he's not with me, what kind of ruckus is he getting into? What kind of
shenanigans am I involved in?
What sort of, you know, shenanigans are afoot?
Oh, man. I love the English language.
Oh, me too. I like methinks. Methinks some shit's afoot regarding Los.
I'm dead. Oh, man. So,
so where have you been?
I don't know.
You almost got fired, Los.
I don't know.
Do you know the ratings for the last two episodes of Primetime Ethan? The man's a Yahoo Sports Roto World star.
Yeah.
The man's a stud.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I don't know where I've been. I'm Lazarus in this. You know,
knew where Lazarus was.
No,
he
didn't. No one knows they're dead, so I'm just back from it.
He knew Jesus brought him back. I saw the movie. They rolled back the stone, and he came out. The first dude he saw was Jesus.
Yeah.
And he was standing right in front of him like, I got you, dog.
No, I felt like my eyes were closed, and then all of a sudden, I'm at the gate, and you just open it up for me, and here I am.
Do you think we need to remake, you know...
The Jesus story?
The Tale of Christ.
Yes.
You think you need to cast, like, Idris Elba?
Oh, yeah. Idris Elba should be in everything.
He should.
We were disappointed when we found out Idris Elba wasn't cast as a young Spider-Man.
I was pissed.
I thought that was an indictment. I don't think we've progressed as far as we thought when we skipped over Idris Elba.
I hear they're doing an Andrew Jackson movie.
Yeah,
it's in development, starring Idris Elba as Old Hickory himself. Real
Davy Crockett.
There you go.
Oh, man,
there's a Robert Redford biopic starring Idris Elba coming up.
Oh man. So I don't know. So I don't know where I've been. I got to see my mom who was in town. That was nice. And then, yeah, that was about it. I don't know. So we'll have to investigate on the whereabouts of Los Stevens, your friendly neighborhood Los.
Los, what kind of life are you living? You almost got fired, Los. Yeah. You almost did.
Yeah.
Ratings have never been higher.
Yeah. It's the fourth time this has happened, so.
Every time you leave, we have an episode get knocked out the park. I hear all the feedback, people in China. We brought on, two new countries listening too, mm-hmm. but I don't remember who they are, so I can't give them a shout out. I should have mentioned them in the pre-production meeting that we didn't have.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm almost fired, and so here we are.
I'm going to bring back Trent Bruce.
Oh, Trent's great.
Beer 101.
We have a good team. Shout outs to the Booze and Basketball team. Also, shout outs to the Booze and Basketball
Sphere. What are you talking about?
What? You, myself, Trent?
It's LeBron James and a bunch of scrubs.
Could I be Kyrie, though?
No, man.
You're treating me like Kevin Love.
you're James Jones. You're always there, I guess. But we forget about you.
Yeah. So you guys already spoke of free agency.
Yes, we did.
That was a treat.
Oh, jeez, man. Yeah. I mean, there's been some updates, like Dwayne Wade going to the Bulls. I don't think you were there for that.
And Rajon Rondo also going to the Bulls.
Yeah, well, he went there first before anybody else. And
former minister.
Los, I have never felt this way about one of my teams.
Former Prime Minister of UK, Tony Blair, has also joined the Chicago Bulls.
Hey, let me ask you something. Yeah. Now, you're a Laker fan. And you've been there you've never been without Kobe. Yeah. So, when can you disown your team? Are you stuck with that team forever? How does that work? Because I'm a Chicago guy. I love my Bulls, love my Bears, you know? Mm-hmm.
But I
can't cheer for him while Rajon's there. You're
sort of looking
there.
From the side, you know, right now.
I don't know what to do, Los. I don't know how to feel. Yeah. Am I allowed to just go away until Rajon comes back? Am I not a true fan? Like, what does that mean?
I think it's a conscientious choice.
I hate management. So. Management mm-hmm. stinks. Mm-hmm. I need to see Paxson and Foreman. How can I like these guys? They're scumbags. How do I cheer for scumbags? Because I go, well, they're my team. I'm like, but they're not right now, though.
The predicament that you're in is that you're a real fan. And that's a problem. Because can you name me a Golden State Warriors fan 5 years ago? No, they didn't exist.
Yeah, it was me.
But yeah, they didn't exist. Because those people who are now Golden State Warriors fans were never hardcore fans in the first place. And by hardcore, I just mean fans. There's no such thing as...
I know, a lot of fans got really mad when Monte got traded.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
And you have to be a real fan to cheer for Monte Ellis, because Monte Ellis is never going to take you anywhere.
He's a heartbreaker. No, but... Yeah, so same as Miami Heat fans before that. There was a good portion of Los Angeles Lakers fans... LA Clippers fans, all of you guys.
Well, we know the Clippers were bandwagoners. I was a fan of the... And I don't know what fan means. It means fanatic. So you're like, I'm not fanatic about anything.
See, but you think too much into that term as a lover of that English language. You just think of it at its definition.
I was a Clippers enthusiast when they had Baron Davis and Coutinho Mobley.
I was a fan
and
of
Chris Kaman.
I was a fan of the Darius Miles, Quentin Richardson. Clippers, not just because here's the thing about being
I loved Quentin when he was on the Suns.
Yeah, here's the thing about being a Lakers fan is that we never even had animosity against the Clippers because we had nothing to think of them.
They're your baby brother.
Yeah, they were in the locker room. I mean, across the hall in the locker room.
You don't take your baby brother seriously. Yeah. I mean, unless you're me, who was the baby brother and was better than both the brothers, you know?
Yeah.
I was the man. I was the franchise.
I was the only son, so, I mean...
Oh, man.
Lots of fruits were bare in my direction. So, So, but yeah, Lakers didn't take the Clippers seriously, so there was no bad blood between us. So I had the opportunity and the luxury of enjoying, you know, some players on that team that just play. I mean, our D-League team, I would say. Our D-League affiliate.
Defenders?
No, the LA Clippers.
Oh, they're your D-League.
Up until, like, 2011 when they acquired Chris Paul.
I love Baron Davis, man. I thought Baron Davis
Baron
was
Davis.
Great.
God bless him. Hey, I hear he's trying to make a comeback in the NBA, and I wish him the utmost.
Well, they said when he was in the league that he was the most freak athlete in terms of, like, that was the most well-rounded athlete in the NBA, yes. Where you go, man, that guy's in incredible shape, and he does incredible things. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to doubt him.
Yeah. Do you think he could do it?
Sure, why not?
Sure.
There's a lot of people getting money.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad talent in the NBA right now. There's a lot of bad talent.
If you don't mind, I'm just going to shoot some jumpers real quick. I think I could sign a $19 million deal.
Man, Dr. Thunder and I were trying to, and Primetime E, were trying to figure out how we could get a hold of some of this money. Surely we could get some sort of
feel-good story. What if we just combine together?
I'm a poor, fat kid. Like, I was my dream to get the NBA. I don't even want to play. I just want to sign a contract. And some team out there would be like, you know what? Give them $5 million. Just, I feel bad for them. We got all this money. Just pay
them. That's less than our mid-level.
And it'll be a good story.
Oh, so I just took a sip of some beer, by the way.
Oh, are you drinking beer today?
And I just realized we're drinking beer, and I'm on my second already.
So Los and I are drinking two different beers.
Yes, two completely different
beers. Yes, one was given to us by Hank,
yeah.
Tall Cat, mm-hmm. Randy.
You guys know him.
He went back to Indiana, which is where we're all from, Dr. Thunder and myself.
With the exception of myself.
Nobody cares about you, dude.
I'm your friendly neighborhood Los.
You're almost fired.
But I'm your friendly neighborhood.
You're from the neighborhood.
You're
always wherever. Just know that wherever you're listening to this episode, that's where Lowe's is from. Lowe's is from that neighborhood.
Yeah,
he's the neighborhood's kid.
Friendly neighborhood Lowe's.
He's that kid when, like, you know, the neighborhood has a story about Lowe's. Remember when Lowe's did this? Ah, Lowe's. Remember when the fire department couldn't come fast enough to get Mrs. McGinty's house, you know, to go save all her cats and stuff when it was on fire, and how Lowe's went down there with a wrench and just opened up the fire hydrant and put out the fire himself? That's neighborhood Lowe's.
That's me.
Wherever, if you're listening to this in Belgium, mm-hmm. Lowe's is from that neighborhood. You know, whatever neighborhood you're from.
You saw me growing up.
You knew him. You knew him well. But anyway, three of us are from Indiana, and Randy brought a beer back from Indiana that's, you know, nice craft beer. But before we get to that one,
yes,
we're going to get to, a good friend of ours on this podcast.
Yes.
Speakeasy.
The executive of the year, my nominee.
Well, we're doing awards next week.
Yes.
So if you want to tune in to next week's show, that'll be our award show, and then we'll do our best of B&B mm-hmm. season two.
Yes.
So, we've drank many speakeasies on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. What are some of the names? There was
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy IPA. Mm-hmm. There was Metropolis Speakeasy?
Yes.
And then Scarlet.
Mm-hmm.
And Payback. And
There's been so many.
This one is called Speakeasy. Black Hand.
Black.
Chocolate Milk Stout. Which, you know, chocolate milk.
Mm. Yeah.
Or is it chocolate milk stout?
That's a burning question.
I don't know. So the picture is, Speakeasy's known for their great pictures. So we have, and this is a big bottle, this isn't a six pack. We have some, you know, white fella here, and he's tied up, and he's in a suit, and he's got some nicely coiffed hair. But he's tied up with rope, you know, pretty sturdy, can't move, and he's got, you know, a handkerchief or, you know, in his mouth, so he can't speak. And he's looking in fear off to the side, where against this shadowed wall, where it's got the noirish blind look, where it's got, you know, the black lines, and there's a giant shadow of a hand coming towards him. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well done. Speakeasy's Black Hand Chocolate Milk Stout. Los.
Speakeasy is a fan of the theatrical.
Do you have your...
I do have the description, if that's what you were asking.
Man, please, go ahead.
It's part of the Speakeasy Limited series, by the way. It's a stout brewed with cacao nibs, Shout out to Cacao. The Black Hand lures you in with its dark, smooth character, taking you prisoner with its creamy sweetness. Without warning, this milk stout seizes your senses with aromas of rich chocolate malts and roasted cacao nibs, and holds on for a lingering.
Why do you say cacao? Finish. Just say cocoa.
It's cacao.
But cocoa sounds better.
But it's cacao nibs.
Do whatever the hell you want, Los.
Okay, so
you're fired anyway.
Okay. So anyway, as we were saying, so Speakeasy Black Can, it is a milk stout, 6.9% alcohol by volume. It's a seasonal. It's part of their limited series. What do you think of it?
It has that dark chocolate aftertaste when you've been eating dark chocolate, and it's that strong chocolatey, like, fills your mouth taste, which in this case isn't bad to hide the alcohol flavor. Yeah. So, and, you know, I'm warming up as I see this, which isn't a good thing because we live in Los Angeles. But if I was somewhere cold, and, man, I could go for this. It just warms the blood.
It would comfort you.
Yeah, and you know, with all that alcohol, would you say 6.4?
6.9.
6.9, that's a lot of alcohol. I can't taste it. It's a fairly delicious taste here, Los.
Yes.
Very, you know, I can see we have not had good luck with milk stouts on this podcast. I dare say this was the best milk stout we've had.
Yeah. Of all milk stouts, yeah, I will say that this is probably on the bottom heap. No, the top heap, sorry. Yeah, I don't know what Jesus. I was thinking there.
I got a pink slip for you.
Okay, so that was redacted. We're looking at anyway, so, no, because I was looking at, it says Sweet Stout Top 50. So, in my mind, I was thinking about 50, so I just articulated bottom heap. Anyway, so, yeah, this is the best that I've tasted out of any of our milk stouts. Like you said, you definitely taste the chocolatey milk taste. Yeah. I'm a big fan of dark chocolate because I feel like it has a fruitiness to it, and that here in this beer is what I enjoy. So it's flavorful, and that's why I would say I like this one.
Yeah, and even though I favor, you know, those nice wheat ales with, you know, a little, like, coriander, a little orange peel, stuff like that.
The spices.
This is a really nice change of pace, and I would want to bring this to a party. Because I feel like this would be a nice conversation piece, but also people would like it.
Yes.
This can go up there near, like, Brother Thelonious in terms of, man, it's got a nice, really strong taste.
Yeah.
And that I feel comfortable letting people drink
it.
For those reasons, I mean, I want to give it a B. And I don't know why I can't bump it up further.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, maybe just it's still a milk stout that, you know, it's got some bitterness to it. Which doesn't mean that a beer can't have bitterness.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, when I rank it against all the all-time beers, it's not up there.
Yeah, so but you're ranking it as a beer and not a milk stout.
I guess so. Is that okay?
It's okay, because
I haven't had enough milk stouts.
Everything's okay for you, buddy. Everything's okay.
I'm the captain of the ship.
I've learned that we shouldn't question. But on my end, I would reward it an A- as a milk stout. I haven't had too many milk stouts. But based on what I've had, and it doesn't have that muddy taste that many milk stouts have.
No, it sure doesn't. You're right.
And which is very distinct in its flavoring. It delivers in its message. I feel like Black Can was a very appropriate title for it. Because it's provocative, yet, I mean, it's classy. And for that, I give it an A- as a milk stout. It does its job. I would say this would rank as sort of the gold standard for milk stouts out there. It's not perfect by any means. I feel like for the alcohol by volume, especially because you could, with milk stouts, you have the luxury of being able to mask so much alcohol. I felt like they could have put more in there. I felt like this could have been an 8 or 9 percenter. So I feel like they could have pushed the buttons a little bit, but for that, I'm not going to penalize it too much. Going to give it an A-. Shout out to Black Hand. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. Speakeasy.
That was really nice of you.
I'm a big fan.
You're a nice guy sometimes.
No, not at all. But So, moving on.
Well, we have another beer.
We have another beer. Now, this one is from, well, what's the three something? Three Floyds?
Three Floyds.
Three Floyds. Not one, not two, but Three Floyds Brewing Company. Yum Yum. It's American Session Ale. It hails from Indiana. Which part of Indiana?
I believe Munster, Indiana, which is that northwest sliver of Indiana that's on the different time zone than the rest of Indiana. Has a lot more of the crime, so they don't like us very much.
So do they have, do they adhere to the daylight savings?
They do, yeah. Okay. Well, Eastern Indiana time did not for a long time, and then they did a few years back where they were like, all right, we'll get on that daylight savings too. Mm-hmm. So now everyone's on daylight savings.
So I think...
which is stupid anyway.
Arizona is the only holdout. Which, yeah.
Is that right? Arizona is the only holdout?
Yes.
Don't you think that's stupid?
It is stupid because daylight...
What's up with Arizona? Arizona's real suspect lately, right?
Arizona, I feel like they should think about secession, you know? I feel like that's sort of that taboo to speak about. I mean, because we're supposed to, as a U.S., we're supposed to be united.
Why is that? We're all different.
Yeah.
Dr. Thunder and I were just talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
We've been talking about it for a while. And that we got so many big problems in this country that, man, I'm starting to wonder if it's easier to just be like, you know what, let's have, not to break up.
Yeah.
We ain't got to break up, but, you know, let's see less of each other.
Yeah.
Maybe we're doing everything together. Why don't we let the states decide some stuff?
What if we sort of model ourselves after the... I mean, it's bad timing, but the European Union.
I was hoping you weren't going to say that.
The European Union.
After the Brexit.
Yeah. In the sense...
Arizona.
But hey, here's the thing.
Argzit?
Hey, yeah. Here's the thing. As the Argzit. Now, if we chose to sort of adopt this sort of model here, that it wouldn't be so much of a transition if someone exited after that. Because we've already sort of shifted to all being together, to being separate but equal. And now you could just choose to be separate if you want. It'll make the breakup a little easier.
I feel like that would be a really bad divorce, though.
Yeah, it's like...
If Texas is like, well, we're big enough, we're going to leave you guys. We're like, not so fast, you don't. Think about how much hell that would be if you were going to try and go through Texas.
The Texit. Oh, that sounds so good. Mm. Wow. Mm. Texit. Go ahead. Can you guys just leave just so we could hear that term, Texit?
Hashtag Texit.
Texit. Yeah, I mean...
You thick-necked son of bitches. You ever driven through Texas?
Yes.
Jesus.
Man. I've, when I was a young lad, 10 years old to be exact, we took a trip from Denver to Dallas via Greyhound, and that was an experience. Colorado borders a sliver of Oklahoma, so that was an experience. And then there's a whole bunch of nothing in Texas for a while until you get a little more central. I've driven through Texas. I've been in Texas. I kind of like Texas just to visit, not to live. But yeah, shout outs to the Texit. If it happens either now or 50 years from now, yeah.
50 years?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. We're going to somewhere. Something's got to give.
Yeah.
It's like that movie with Jack Nicholson.
Something's got to give. Diane Keaton?
Man.
Yeah.
That was during her resurgence.
Yeah.
She went right back.
Why does she always wear a hat and sunglasses?
Because she's, you know...
She's Diane Keaton.
She's not great looking.
Oh, I thought she's interesting looking.
But she's the female Humphrey Bogart.
What? Did I like her in Annie Hall or Manhattan? I'm confused.
You liked her in Annie Hall.
I mean, everyone liked her in Annie Hall. I think I liked her in Manhattan, because I'm just weird like that.
She wasn't in that weird Bananas movie
that you talked about? No, she was not.
Go back and listen to that episode. I can't help you. Because
it's not posted. But
it's not posted anymore? Mm-mm. I'm thinking about going back and adding more, you know. You
should do that.
Add all the episodes
especially for the summer. It's the summer of booze and basketball, so we're going to give you some.
So just don't make promises, buddy.
I know. I'm so bold.
Here's what we're going to do. And then, all right, you going to be around for this, Los? No.
No.
I'm going to disappear again.
Just take care of it.
Los is interesting because Los, you know, you have to worry about him. He's a small, fragile guy. And, you know, we told that story about a year ago where you almost died, Los, and you disappeared for a while and people were worried.
I read a very sad story from the New York Times just today, right before I got here, about this guy who they just found dead in his apartment. He was like 72 years old, but he sort of spotlighted the many, many individuals yearly who die in New York who have no connection to anybody, who just die in anonymity. And I was like, am I going to be that guy? I mean, you know, just 14 days later, you just find Los just dead and no one noticed. Yeah, no one could report. I mean, you guys have moved on in the podcast without me. You just presume that, you know.
Me and your girlfriend are married.
Yep.
Because we both got worried about you and we bonded over that.
It's Pearl Harbor. You guys ever saw that Jerry Bruckheimer's?
And then
that's his masterpiece.
And then you come back and you punch me in the face.
Yeah.
Not very hard because you're not really strong. No, but, you know,
I'm Ben Affleck.
You kicked me in the nuts or something.
How hard could I punch?
What happened to Josh Hartnett?
Yeah. No, he was on the Peaky Binders? Peaky Blinders? No.
What?
No, he was on this Showtime show.
That man was a star. He had a million-dollar look, Los. Yeah.
Well, he was... recently, he said that he's one of the only actors to have turned down multiple major superhero roles. At one point, he was offered Superman, he was offered Batman, and he was offered Spider-Man. And he turned down all of them.
Yeah, because he would have been lousy at all three of them. He is more of a Flash.
Yeah.
Or Green Lantern.
I thought he could have been an early Captain America before they decided to reboot and then choose Chris Evans.
Yeah, Chris Evans did a pretty good job.
A serviceable job, but he had a tryout because he was the Human Torch in the first iteration of Fantastic Four.
That's not fair. You get one superhero, buddy.
And then Ryan Reynolds, who had his renaissance.
I was so mad about that, too, because I was like,
why'd you
give him a second one after the first one bombed?
And he was the Green Lantern.
Renaissance. What's wrong with you?
Hey, that's your next best actor. Just wait for it.
So.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Booze and Basketball.
The best of both worlds.
And make sure you listen to BoozeandBasketball.com.
For all your Booze and Basketball needs.
And make sure you go to, you know, Tinder and OkCupid and Podomatic.
And Hot or Not.
Forever podcasts are found.
Swipe right on Booze and Basketball. So, all lives matter, right?
All lives, no, don't bring that up.
I'm bringing it up.
No, come on.
Yes.
I said some real things off the air.
Booze and basketball's getting political, y'all.
No, we're not.
No,
we didn't finish talking about this beer.
Okay. No, but where has Josh Hartnett been?
His life doesn't matter.
Why
did you say all lives matter?
Huh?
I don't want to get into this.
I don't agree with it because
I don't either.
I know you don't, so I wanted to get into
it. You were so happy with me earlier when I said that. You were like, man, thank you.
Thank you. Ah. No. It's really been just sort of, you know, inside of
me. It just bothers me. Yeah. Here's what bothers me. Everybody's stupid. It's like the Kevin Durant thing that I said last week. Most people with an opinion are stupid about Kevin Durant because the people who are going against him hate him for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And the people who like him for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. And this whole, you know, Black Lives Matter versus cops, I'm like, do you see that you're both wrong?
Yeah.
Do you see that you both are... And I understand both sides. And while they're going at each other... The guys who are really responsible are getting a clean pass.
Mm-hmm.
Remember 2 years ago when I talked about pulling all these, you know, rich white senators out of their beds and curb stomping them and whatnot?
I remember that.
How's that going? Did we do that yet?
No, we didn't.
It hasn't happened. And while these guys get to make their own salaries and they do all these things that, you know, they have all the power, they're making all the people who don't have any decisions and don't have any choices. Like cops aren't supposed to be scared for their lives because, you know, that's a hard job to do. Try going up on a window, not sure, you know, that person's already having a bad day because you pulled them over.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what you got.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's some bad cops.
Yeah.
But there's some bad everything.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that going to be, like, they're responsible? Yeah. Who's responsible for them? Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Black Lives Matter, like, do you not understand that, you know, that civil rights did not make everything perfect?
Yeah.
It did not perfect things. Yeah. We still have this huge problem in America that nobody's willing to address because nobody cares. And so they're letting all these inner city in this wicked, like, it's not cool.
Yeah.
And no one's trying to fix the problem. So, of course, these two people found sides. Los, who's the bad guy? The guys who are getting away with everything.
The powers that be.
The powers that be.
Mm-hmm. Which there are. Believe it or not.
If we could all learn to bond together and turn our watchful eye towards the people who are causing this mess, maybe we would fix something. But bitching on Facebook isn't fixing anything.
No.
And that's the problem with America. That's why I get so upset about the education system. The education system now keeps you dumb. Mm-hmm. People, I want to go to a school, you know, where it's structured and I work out of a textbook every single day. Good. That doesn't teach you anything. Mm-hmm. That doesn't show you how to be a well-informed citizen of the world.
Yeah.
And they want to keep you stupid.
They do.
So you're like, well, you know, and now how many, I was talking with somebody today where I go, I think at least like 60% of people in this country are stupid. Mm-hmm. That's the number. And that's me being generous.
Yeah.
I mean, you're plain an idiot. And all these people grow up and they don't get education and now they have a voice. So they pick the wrong fucking side.
Yeah.
Can we just have a... to the smart people, please. Yeah.
But even the people with, quote unquote, a lot of education have sort of compartmentalized themselves to one perspective. And that's part of the issue as well. And I think in the future going forward, our education system should teach people how to prepare people for life and prepare people in the sense that they're able to open themselves to different perspectives, to put themselves in different shoes. So in a situation that we're in right now, we'll be able to sort of understand each other better. And we wouldn't have this pointing fingers thing on, hey, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. You're more wrong. No, I'm right. You know, it's not about that. It's about understanding each other at the micro level, you know, possible. We just need to understand each other better. And I've just been really upset. I mean, I'm drinking this beer right now, so I'm kind of better. But I've been really upset that it's just with this whole All Lives Matter movement, and it's just that you're turning a blind eye to the real picture here, is that if, you know, I'm black or I'm yellow or I'm red or I'm green or purple and you're white and we're walking on the same street together and someone sees both of us, they know your life matters. Everyone knows that.
The Black Lives Matter movement is not trying to say
it's that not a supremacy
only
thing.
Their life matters or their life matters more. They just want to be treated equally.
Yeah. And
you didn't study the civil rights movement, exactly. So you don't understand where people are coming from. So you take it as like a, well, they're not better than me. I'm like, that's not what people
are saying. It's just like, me too. That's all they're saying. That's all Black Lives Matter is saying.
I don't have to get worried when the police pull me over. I know I'm not going to get shot.
Yeah.
Isn't there something wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in a situation where a police has pulled a gun on me. You know, I stared at the barrel, and it's a very scary...
Oh, I've been there too, but for different reasons.
It's a very scary and helpless feeling, and I was racially profiled. And then
you look like Osama bin Laden. We've talked about this. You're shaving your beard. That's good.
This was 2008. But in the end of the day, I was one of the lucky ones. But I was still angry because at the end of the day, I was running towards the bus trying to catch it so I could get a haircut. They thought I was running from the police.
Probably. Oh, yeah, sure.
Because I was accused of beating my girlfriend, which at the time I was... very, very, very sadly single.
And how did beating your girlfriend come into this?
So apparently there was a suspect on the loose.
Of course, so they looked at, you know.
And I, quote unquote, fit the description.
Which I have never heard that happen to a white person.
Yeah.
You fit a description.
I fit the description. I knew that my bus was coming maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes from the, I don't know, 0.2 miles I lived from the bus stop. So I made a dart for it. I heard sirens just surrounding the area, but I thought nothing of it. I was like, dude, I just have to catch my bus.
You were a child when this happened. Yeah. In 2008.
How yeah. old you were? I was 18 years old.
Oh, man. Yeah. You could have been a number. You could have been a statistic, Lowe's.
I could have been. And so I'm right across the intersection in which my bus stop is at, and I'm looking both ways just to see if I could cross. And then across the street from me stands a cop car. Coming out of it, a cop with a gun says, "Get on the ground."
Jesus.
I look around and I'm like, "What? Who's he talking to?" And I just point, like, "Me?" And he's like, "Yeah, you get on the ground." And he has his gun. I'm just staring straight at the barrel, and it was almost just like the world stopped, right? And I'm like, "Oh shit. Okay, let me get down. This is so weird." It was weird. It was scary and it was weird because it was me at this point. It was a guy who had no record. I mean, I got my first debit card maybe 4 months prior, you know? Like, this was new to me. I didn't know. And so I get on the ground, and then another cop car pulls up. And then, you know, before I know it, now they're handcuffing me. And while they're handcuffing me, I'm giving them my hands. And the guy just has his, like, boot to my cheek.
They roughed
just,
you up?
Oh, yeah, just pressing me against the gravel. And then, I'll never forget, by the time they had both cuffs on me, I look up, and then the bus I'm trying to catch passes. And I'm like...
That's the worst part of the story.
Not only did I miss this bus, but now I'm thinking... What are the people inside of the bus thinking when they're looking at me?
Oh, yeah.
You know? Where I was just supposed to be sharing the same vehicle that they were in, you know, en route to getting a routine haircut. Because at that point, I was getting the haircut, you know, every 14 to 20 days, something like that. And, you know, that wasn't an actuality at this point. Now I just want to make sure I'll be okay. You know, at this point, I'm like, did I do something wrong? Am I going to get out of this? Oh, what's going to happen? So, you know, now they have me in cups, you know, against, I'm sitting on the curb. They're gathering some of my information. You know, with no fight at all, I'm giving them everything that they ask for. They're looking up. I'm like, man, I don't have any record or anything. What are you doing? And they're like, yeah, so what's up with you and your girlfriend? And, you know, I heard you roughed her up and I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? I don't have a girlfriend, first off. And, you know, maybe 30, 45 minutes pass, and you could tell, like, in their face, they're realizing this isn't the guy. But, you know, in the midst of all of this, I'm hearing, you know, descriptions like, oh, he's wearing, you know, black shorts, he's wearing Jordans, this and that. And
no one else wears Jordans.
No one else wears Jordans. So, at the end of it, they just let me go.
They apologize?
They didn't apologize. I just go. I'm like, fuck it. I go home. And I just... It wasn't even anything just... I don't think it was how I felt emotions leading up to it. But as soon as I got home, I just bawled. Out of control. I didn't know. I couldn't control it. I just didn't know why. I was so confused. And at the same time, angry. That this just happened to me when I didn't do anything wrong other than maybe I was a little behind time. At worst case, I should have just missed a bus.
Yeah.
You know, if anything.
Well, you didn't know you were going to get insulted for trying to catch a bus.
For trying to catch a bus.
Jesus Christ.
But at the end of it, in 2016, with everything that's happening out in the world, I was one of the lucky ones. I had the benefit of going home and crying, you know? I had that opportunity. I had that chance to cry, you know? Where it could have just been, I was going to be dead. And maybe the police was going to say, hey, he was making a run for it. We don't know what he did wrong.
Lose, you've never told me this story.
They could have.
This is fascinating.
They could have.
Here's the fascinating thing about it, right? Is that. I pictured while you're telling this, there's people who don't know you that are listening to this podcast going, he must have done something. He's making something up. Yeah. And for me that knows you, I'm like...
I'm last minute Los if everyone knows me.
You're last minute Los.
Yeah. I'm always late.
But like, you're far nicer than me.
Yeah.
You're the nicest guy I know, and you would never do anything yeah. like that at all. So for people who are listening, just be like, I don't know. I can't put a face on this. You are my face for this. Where I'm like, you're proof, you know?
It's proof.
Because you have to understand, who was it, Dave Chappelle, that he was like, he was doing a stand-up routine that one time, and he was talking to white people in the audience. He goes, what do the cops say to you, like, when they pull you over? License and registration? And they're like, yeah. And he goes, see, I'm just guessing. He goes, they don't say that to us. They say, bend over and spread your cheeks.
Yeah.
Brahma, bend over and spread your yeah. cheeks.
And it's funny, a few months prior to that incident, now, they didn't take any of my information at this point, but a friend of mine was taking us all home because he was the guy with the car, you know? He was the friend with the car, and he was driving us all around. We'd go to the mall. We'd go to parties and stuff like that. And it was 11-something. I don't even think it was midnight yet. And we were driving through my neighborhood, and all of a sudden, we see the sirens. He pulls over. Now, this guy, I think he works in the pharmaceutical industry right now. Very smart kid. At that time, you know, I had a full ride scholarship to a school and, you know, didn't get in trouble at all. Just no blemishes, didn't want to steal anything, whatever. So they pull him over and they're like, hey, dude, you know, what's going on? We saw you make a turn or something like that.
We saw you make a turn. So we got suspicious.
Yeah, saw you make a turn. And I didn't realize that at the time. I thought it was just routine. So he has us get out of the car. They just search his car completely. Throw everything that he has in that car out onto the curb. Just ransacking. Just looking through, you know, every nook and cranny, every crevice in the car. Looking for something to sort of pin them for. And they didn't find anything. And we were just left to just put the stuff in the car. And they just left us saying, good night, just be careful. And that was it. And at that point, I didn't even realize anything was wrong. I was just like, shit, man, what? Okay, this is cool, whatever. I mean, at that point, I was just glad he didn't get caught for anything. But I didn't see that as an injustice. Meanwhile,
yeah. I remember my white friend always driving, you know, around College Town, and he had a busted taillight that he refused mm-hmm. to get fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled him over every weekend.
Yeah.
Sir, did you know you had a busted taillight? Oh, no, officer. I don't know that. I'll get that fixed immediately. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, and they'll look around because it's Saturday. It's, you know, yeah. Saturday night, Friday night, 2 a.m., 1 a.m., mm-hmm. midnight. All right, sir, have a good night. That's it. Every time, and I'd be sitting there just like, man, this is unbelievable. Like, they won't do anything.
This guy's a
hero. And I think that people who have that happen to
yeah.
them...
Yeah.
assume that the other half just doesn't comply.
Yeah.
The, you know, because my buddy's real like, oh, no, sir, officer. Yes, mm-hmm. sir, officer. But you're telling that story like you're the same way.
Yeah.
You're that guy. No, sir. I don't imagine you sassed anybody.
Mm-mm. I mean, when we look at the Philando Castile video that his girlfriend live streamed, even...
Was that one? No. What was the other one? I thought that... I saw that one.
Yeah.
Isn't there somebody named Alton?
Alton Sterling.
I thought that was the one with the video.
No, Alton Sterling. I watched that
video.
That was recorded, like, too. They had him pinned down, and then
Jesus
all
Christ.
Of a sudden, you just see the cop who's on top of him saying, oh, he's got a gun!
Oh, I didn't see that. I saw the one with the video where it was the wife being like, please don't tell me he's dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
My point is, in that video, you could hear her saying, still complying, saying, sir, you told him this. Sir, you know, she's still addressing him as sir. And there was still that respect yeah. there. And yet...
And you killed him!
And he killed him. And he walked... As a patron, you know, it's pretty dumb to sort of shoot at a cop from a car in a routine traffic stop. So what would provoke, you know, a cop? Now, I'm not... Hey, that's not my profession.
Here's what bothers me. Look, man, my cousin... is a police officer. Yeah. I don't even know if he's a police officer. I think he's some sort of military. But remember when the... what was it? It was the first big one. What was the first... there was some big... You know, they sent in, like, the National Guard and stuff. That was... it wasn't Ferguson. It was on the East Coast. It was in Baltimore.
Yeah.
The Baltimore riots? I don't even remember, dude. It's been a hellish couple of years. But it was on the cover where it was the Baltimore, and he lives in Baltimore, yeah. And he was on the national, you know, he's on the cover of some national newspaper with a riot shield and stuff. Mm. And, you know, I'm not saying that police are bad,
yeah.
But to deny racial profiling, yeah. to say it doesn't happen,
yeah.
is ignorant.
Yeah.
And to say that all cops are shady,
yeah.
and corrupt is also ignorant.
Yeah.
But to... you don't think there's a problem?
Yeah.
You don't think there's anything going on? It's a big problem. No, they don't... It's so hidden.
Mm-hmm.
White people just don't... I'm not... And here's the thing, right? I have this friend who's not even my friend anymore. You remember Paula?
Yeah.
I'll say her name. I don't care.
Yeah.
So Paula's the person who... She hated how men were sexist towards women, how they would objectify their bodies and be like, she's hot. And she was like, I find that disgusting.
Yeah.
So then she created like an Instagram about beefcakes later where she was like, I just love looking at beefcakes. And that she made that word
buff
a thing.
Buff men.
Yeah. Buff men. And she was like, I'm just this depraved buff men. Mm. And I thought she was, if you were being ironic with that.
I thought this was a parody. I thought it was operated by the yin yang.
If you were being ironic, cool. No. But it turned out she wasn't.
No.
So I was like, really? You're going to stoop to... That's your response is to stoop to that level. Yes. And then she came out to protest All Lives Matter by creating... And she was like, this is why you know, like, white people are fucking stupid. Mm. And she came out with like a white person bingo for all the racist things they say.
Wow.
And I was like, I understand the point. And I hope if you were ironic, cool. Because that would be funny.
Yeah.
But you weren't being ironic. You were being serious. And that makes you an idiot. Like, to be racist against people for being racist against you, that's... Do you not see the problem with that? Do you not see how that doesn't fix anything? I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get the hypocrisy. And I don't get the ignorance in America.
Yeah.
And I'm sad that we're talking about this.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
Yeah.
It is a bummer. But, I mean, It's surrounding us, right?
But just the fact that people are going to listen to this podcast and be like, there's something that you're making up about that story, Lois.
Yeah.
You realize that, right?
Yeah.
You realize how fucking awful that is.
Yeah.
People are going to listen and be like, no, he's not telling the whole story. Clearly there's something wrong.
Something
and I'm like,
I did wrong.
Are you crazy?
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I never got my hair cut. I waited maybe a month and a half.
Damn it!
So.
Damn.
If there were any question marks there.
Damn, damn, damn.
Damn, damn, damn. No, so yeah. I wanted to clear that up in the air. No, and it's like, it was a story that I've never felt like I could tell.
Jesus.
In recent years. When it first happened, I told everybody and we all had a laugh about it. Because, we were maybe 15 years from LA riots. So this was our worst thing was like, A, is Obama going to be elected or are we going to have John McCain? That was the biggest question mark for, you know, the community, if you will, was that, there was that unrest.
That's what disappoints me, too.
Yeah.
Is Trump versus Hillary? I was like, do you think either of these people are going to fix this mess?
Nobody wins.
They're going to make it worse, Lois. The problems that we have, neither of them give a shit about.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that people voted for either of them.
Yeah.
And worse off, defend people. I mean, here's the thing. I get why people voted for Trump. They're the lowest common denominator of people. Like, those are the dumbest. And that's what bothers, you know, I said it before, and I'll say it again. The fact that we don't educate people is where people like Clinton, Hillary, and Trump come from.
Well, in the right wing, which is the Republican Party, didn't offer up any options. So, I mean, when you have a party...
They had a whole army of people during the Republican debates.
But those weren't options.
There's something.
They were incompetent. They didn't measure up. No, I don't think they
were
options.
But they were all better than the option they went with.
Not necessarily, because
I think everywhere I go, if they have nachos, I'm getting the nachos. Because you can't fuck up nachos. Yeah.
But when you're sick...
Jeb Bush is an idiot, but
there's so many people allergic to government cheese at this point. So they just couldn't have it anymore. their taste buds just couldn't handle it anymore. They were getting more and more and more of the same. Now,
so they went with whatever's different.
So they went with something that was different. Someone said, hey, this is sharp cheddar. Buy this one. And they were like, oh, okay, sharp cheddar, man. I don't necessarily understand what's...
I love sharp cheddar.
I don't understand what's in that, but hey, I'll take it because you're telling me it's sharp cheddar. And I've had a taste for sharp cheddar for a long time, yet it's never been sold at these places that I frequent.
When I go to Jersey Mike's, yeah, I get a little extra pepper jack.
Pepper jack.
You get that pepper jack cheese. The way they lay it on there, they put it diagonally instead of flat. Yeah. So it hangs off the bread.
Yeah.
So you have bites where you're just getting pepper jack cheese. Mm. And it's so good, Lowe's.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So, yeah.
You can't mess up pepper jack cheese.
That's my sort of commentary with the Donald Trump thing, is that they were out of options. Because you, hey, you're not a voter. It's fair to say you're not a voter of the Republican Party, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So... And there were
but that doesn't make me a Democrat.
No, I get it.
I just want the best person.
I understand. I get it. But there were people who were connected to that establishment for a long time. And they were getting more than menu fatigue. I mean, there's not even a term that sort of relates to that. Because maybe they weren't the most educated people.
So what you're saying is we need to bring in Gordon Ramsay to have a Hell's Kitchen. Exactly. Or a Kitchen Nightmares and come in and get the rats out.
Yes. Yeah.
We need to get Gordon Ramsay, guys.
Yeah.
He's going to fix this.
We need a revitalization, a revisioning.
See how you do this. Yeah. Oh, this is our Constitution, sir. What's that?
Of this.
Yeah. Look how old this is. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's what we use, sir. Mm-hmm. Old Chef Mike. You know who Chef Mike is?
Chef Mike. No, I don't.
Chef Mike is when people just use a microwave and they heat up all your food in the microwave and they're like, who cooked this? He goes, oh, Chef Mike cooked it. And Gordon Ramsay's like, you bloody twats.
This is an anecdote, but there's
go ahead,
Jimmy.
We're rounding in on our hour.
There's a Jimmy Fallon little bit of Gordon Ramsay, and they have him taste Girl Scout cookies.
Oh yeah, he hated
and
it.
He detested them. Oh man, it made you rethink your stance as an American.
I can't wait until Girl Scout cookies come up again in a couple months. You know how
meanwhile, Gordon Ramsay's still washing his mouth out with Listerine.
I'm going to spend about $50 on Girl Scout cookies, those. Proudly, too. Those Sunshine Smiles, yeah. The lemon ones. If you haven't had Sunshine Smiles, shut up.
Yeah.
Go get yourself some because they're better than the Dozy Doze. Stay off the Thin Mints. Thin Mints are done. They're not any good.
I love Thin Mints.
I especially grew up frozen. On Thin Mints and now I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm menu fatigue.
Menu fatigue.
I'm ready for something different.
Okay, so the synopsis to this is that, hey, all lives do matter, and that includes black lives. So let it go. Let it go. All lives matter, and let black lives matter shine because someone needs a voice. Let's give them a voice. Let's enable them.
Now, I feel like you're a hero after the story you told.
I'm sick, man. I'm sick because Martin Luther King's dream died, man. No one was there to take the mantle because for years and years and years, black people or color folk, as they may call them, were taught to just conform. I mean, we freed you guys as slaves, so why don't you just conform and try and be like the rest of us? Even though we're going to limit you in your freedoms, but hey, just don't be a leader because there's no cause there. And so in 68, Martin Luther King died and he didn't leave. I mean, no one picked up the mantle. I mean, we were just left to our own devices.
All right, Los, you convinced me.
We were just left to our own devices and no one was there to pick us up. And... while no one was there to pick us up, there were quite a few people who wanted to just kick us down. So
you think maybe we gotta go with Bernie Sanders? You think he's the new MLK?
It's not even that, man. It's not even about picking ourselves by our bootstraps, man. It's all about just, man, let's just be together, man. Let's just reach a hand for someone in need, man.
Pull somebody up.
Pull somebody up. Just help each other,
pull
man.
Pull up the next guy next to you.
And I know in the B&B...
Or woman.
I know in the B&B sphere, I'm infamous for my diatribe and my rant against the brand managers and all of that. But what I was saying was just for us to help people. Hey, you could be whatever profession you want. You could be... Hey, if your calling's your calling, then do that. But don't forget about the next person in line, man. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Jeez.
Sorry. I'm emotional.
Those
I'm
are sorry. Hitting things over here.
I'm sorry. Now, that's it for booze and basketball.
Hey, we didn't give the Griffith beer or the Munster Griffith beer. Great.
Three Floyds, Yum Yum, what was Style L, American Style L, something like that.
Yeah, whatever.
That gets an A- for me as well.
Jeez.
I'll give a double A-. I enjoyed the hops. But it still had that full feeling of like a wheat ale. So I like that balance there.
Hoppy, but not too hoppy. I'll give it a C. Okay. Normally I hate hops, but in this case, I didn't have a problem with it. Maybe because I was hearing this amazing story. But
so
you're an American hero.
No, I'm not.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just an American story at the end of the day. I'm one of millions.
Man, ain't that true.
And so go out there and tell your story.
Go out there and tell your story.
Yeah. And hear somebody else's. Listen. Hey, don't just hear, but listen.
And get an education.
Please.
Read books.
Please.
Don't be happy to be ignorant.
No. And it goes beyond Facebook, guys. I'm sick of that, man.
I'm about to get off Facebook because I'm tired of hearing it.
No, it's not. It's not even about the Facebook as a platform. It's about limiting yourself to Facebook. Because it goes beyond. The internet's vast. The internet has a lot of resources that you could sort of benefit from.
But not just tasty.
Yeah.
Where you're learning how to make all these great dishes. Exactly. Which I learned how to make pepperoni and cheese, like pizza waffles.
Pizza waffles.
Where you put, you know, the bread and then you hide the pepperoni and cheese in the middle and then you throw it on the waffle maker and then you make some waffles with pizza and pepperoni and cheese in the middle and then you can dunk it in marinara sauce. I think I'm going to do that. I want to get a waffle maker.
Those. Yeah. So the internet goes beyond those autoplay Facebook videos. Just go out there, man. Google's your friend. If you have a question on your mind, don't settle for the I don't know. Just type it in and explore.
Mm-mm-mm.
Please don't. That's it. If I leave you with anything, the booze and basketball sphere, the people of America, the people of the world, don't settle for the I don't know. Settle for the let's find out, man. Let's go.
And on that note, thank you for listening to boozeandbasketball.com. Go to boozeandbasketball.com for all your booze and basketball needs.
Please. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Check us out on SoundCloud, Podomatic, Stitcher. Please leave a comment on our Facebook page.
If anything, after this episode, show Losh your support, damn it. Show him that you got his back, that you believe in him.
Yeah.
That you believe his story.
It's not even me, man. It's about the world.
It's your story today.
It's about you today. All those faces that have been forgotten, man.
But in the meantime, until next week when we come back with our awards show.
Yes.
Well,
and prepare yourself for the best of.
Yeah. On that note,
Mahalo.